Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ruth King's here, too, because she always has some good things to talk to us about. It's a very important thing. She is the founder of Profitability Channel and also the author of a number of books called The Ugly Truth About Managing People, also The Ugly Truth About Small Business, and that whole series of books. And she's our good friend, Ruth King. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It's great to be back.
Profitability Channel, right? Profitabilitychannel.com?
That's it.
All right. So check. And by the way, folks, that's where you can find a lot of outstanding video online. Online video on demand, right, Ruth?
That's correct as well. And live and on demand.
And live, too. Yeah, that's right. Live, too. Ruth, let's talk for just a minute. We're going to talk about microloans in a second. But before we do, I'd like to get your take on what you think about what's happening right now with regard to our government's reaction to the financial crisis that we've been going through. And I do believe it's a crisis. I try not to use those kinds of words, ill-advisedly, but I do think we have a crisis right now with our financial markets. I think it's something that we're going to work out of. I don't think there's any question about that. But it's, the question I think is whether it's how bad it's going to hurt. And the question is whether we're going to create a bunch of unintended consequences by trying to fix it artificially. What do you think?
Well, I think the unintended consequences by fixing it artificially, yes, there always are. And if I had a crystal ball, I'd know how bad or good it's going to be or how we're going to work out of it. The issue really and truly is that we've had a situation where a lot of things have happened, a lot of legislation was gone on, and people got greedy.
Yep.
I mean, they leveraged the CDOs, which were the collateralized debt obligations, which is where the mortgages got stripped, like 30 to 1. Who in their right mind does that? And then AIG cheated all, and they got caught.
And they kept, and here's the thing. They kept leveraging them, like you were talking about, without adding any value.
That's right. Yeah.
See, if it's one thing, if you and I leverage a construction project, we go out and we borrow money, more money than we should for a construction project. If we're building something, if we're making an asset, if we're hiring people, if we're buying goods, even though you and I might, the project might fail or financially it implodes on itself, at least it created some kind of activity. When they re-securitize these things, these mortgages, they created nothing but fees.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and then when you're ledger.
So that was the greed part.
Yeah. How do you leverage something 30 to 1 and not?
Some of it was more than that.
CDOs were like 30 to 1, and then they kept going.
Yeah. So now that kind of greed, and then unfettered access to Congress, as they were talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
The first example you were given was Wall Street.
Right.
And then the second thing was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government sponsored entities, GSEs. And now that the chickens have come home to roost, Ruth, they're coming back to Congress, to our government, and saying, okay, bail us out. Well, as you pointed out during the break, and as I've been saying, when the dot coms turn into dot bombs, nobody bailed them out. We absorbed that. We absorbed that. Those excesses into the marketplace. It took us a while to recover, but we did, and hopefully we learned something. Or I thought we might learn something anyway. Turns out we might not have learned so much. But here's the difference, though, Ruth. What we have right now is not somebody who had a wreck and got injured.
Yeah.
This is a virus that's circumnavigated the earth, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's affected the credit markets in the world. It's not only
that's right.
Us.
That's right. And so it is a, that's the reason why I am saying that this is a crisis. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly what needs to be done. I'm not that smart, but I do know this: if the more the government gets involved in the marketplace, the more you're inviting socialism into the free market economy, and the more and you're never going to get the government out of it.
No.
I mean, name one bureau, name one government agency that's been created in the last 60 years that later was abolished.
None.
No.
HEW got split up into different ones.
But it's still out there, though.
It's still there, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably bigger than it ever was.
Yeah.
So my point is once the government gets its camel's nose under the tent, it's the rest of it's easy, isn't it?
Yep.
And you know, isn't it interesting that even with all the doom and gloom and everything, and the stock market, you know, crashing for a day, even with all that, people still called in like 1,000 to 1. I heard some members of Congress had 1,000 phone calls and only one or two was in favor of the thing.
Well, the interesting thing is now that the stock market is where it is, there's a huge opportunity out there, and people are not buying it. People,
that's right.
You know, and this happened after 9/11. It happened after the Black Mondays and, you know, the other 87, whatever that was.
Right.
And the interesting part is that I had a conversation with an economist probably on Profitability Channel about 6 or 7 months ago, and he said despite what's going on in all the financial markets and despite what's going on and everybody says we're in bad shape, we still have a shortage of labor in this country.
That's exactly right.
And it's a really situation where people want jobs and need jobs, and they can get it.
Why else is unemployment not going through the roof? And
yeah.
See, what you just described is what I consider, what I've been predicting, Ruth, was going to be our next national crisis.
Is labor?
Yep.
I agree.
I've been saying that for 2 or 3 years now.
Yep.
And so anyway, it'll be interesting to see the more Congress dithers with this thing. At some point in time, we'll get to the point where we'll say, you know what, guys, just go back to wherever you've been. You know, turns out we don't need you guys anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the market, as ugly as it may get, the market will fix itself. And I'm my free market laissez-faire genes pop out at a time like this pretty heavily. Ruth, and I'm trying not to be irresponsible about this because I do know we have a crisis, but I think we ought to give the market a chance to work. Quick break. We're going to talk about microloans, and Ruth King has identified some opportunity out there where you can get some microloans for your small business. And we'll get her to tell us what a microloan is right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, little John Mellencamp bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. We built them for you. Ruth King is our guest. She's the author of The Ugly Truth About Small Business and The Ugly Truth About Managing People. She's also the founder and CEO of a Profitability Channel, which is an internet video organization. She produces lots and lots of outstanding live and on-demand videos at profitabilitychannel.com. Ruth, is that where they can find the books, too?
Yes, they can find the books on that site, too.
So check that out. Ruth, a guy named Muhammad Yunus won a Nobel Prize for his work with Grameen Bank, which was his bank, which I think Yunus is Pakistani or Bangladeshi. I'm not sure. Somewhere in that part of the world. And his bank made tiny, tiny, tiny microloans to people who were weaving baskets. And, I mean, no technology, low-income, third-world people. He made little tiny loans to them to help raise themselves out of poverty. And it's wildly successful. And some of that's going on here in the United States, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's spread throughout the entire world. Not only is it in the India, it started in India, actually. And it just spread through Africa, through Asia, through South America, and into the United States, because In the United States, the definition of a microloan, a U.S. definition, not Grameen banks or anything like that, which is very different, is mm-hmm. any enterprise that gets started with less than, I think, $35,000 in capital. And so a lot of businesses actually, qualify.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most startups are clearly in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Under 30,000, absolutely.
Yeah.
A microloan in India would be like $200.
No, 25.
25. Well, I said that earlier. I said anywhere from 25 to 250 when you were coming on, but in the United States it's probably maybe 5,000 or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about 30,000. The definition of a microloan in the United States, according to a couple of the organizations who actually group together the microloans in the United
yeah.
States. And so there's
so in other words, a microloan as high as 30,000 is still a microloan as high as 30,000. See, I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah. The SBA has a program also for microloan organizations and has some, but there's a lot of independent groups. I'm working with one in North Georgia who the cool part about most microloans is it's running exactly the same way as they ran them in India and Bangladesh, and they're run that way. Not only do you get the loan, but you're required to take training.
Yeah. You know, in Iraq, one of our contacts in Iraq over the last 4 years, Ruth, has been, one of her first jobs was to make microloans to Iraqi small businesses, and just last week she reported that the repayment rate is still like 98%.
They go as a group. The group as a whole works together. Yes, they have different businesses specifically,
right. But
the group as a whole helps each other with problems. The groups as a whole help each other with strategies, ideas, solutions. And it's really, not only do you get the money, and this is another, you want to go back to the thing we were talking about earlier. This is another thing where I think banks make a huge mistake,
right. Is
the fact that they give the loans out to small business owners who don't have a clue, but they have the collateral. I can't tell you who this is because they won't come on the channel. But I had a meeting with a high level bank officer who was in what they call the workout department with loans that go bad and things like that. And most of them, she said, don't have a clue. We've given these loans based on collateral, not whether they know anything about
them. And next thing you know, they're repossessing houses and jewelry and stocks and cars and stuff like that. No, you're exactly right. And by the way, the SBA, I don't know if it still is in operation or not, but SBA did have something. Their microloan program was I think, $15,000 or less.
Yeah, I think so.
And see, a lot of people, if they ultimately need $30,000 over 2 years, let's say, they don't need it all at once.
No.
They need $2,000 a month or something like that, because they don't really even need to be managing that kind of money.
Mm-hmm. But they also need the training behind it. They have to understand what a financial statement is. They have to understand money. They have to understand cash flow. They have to understand marketing. They have to understand sales.
Don't you think that not understanding the relationship between cash flow and accounting is a single reason why people fail?
Absolutely. And it's interesting because we're working with them, and we're starting a foundation, and we're in the process of putting it together for the microloans so that they can get the training for free and be funded through donations for their training. And it's amazing what they're learning. It's just, they're so...
Now are you, the people you're talking about, are they matching up the training and the loan program together?
Yes.
You can't get the money without getting the training. And so they're putting both of those resources together.
Yeah, most of them are like that. There's some out there that say, okay, go to Small Business Development Center or go to school or whatever. But most of them actually have the training.
I think that's smart. That's called tough love, isn't it? Feed your child, but make them behave too. Hey, how can we find out more about these?
There's several organizations. I've got more information if they want to call me or send me an email. I'd be happy to do that and talk about some of the things.
Is there one particular place they could go to find more about? Should they go to SBA.gov and look in financing? Would that be one place?
The SBA.gov, and I think it's Association for Economic. It's AEO.org, I think, is the other place.
AEO.org. Look under microloans in Google maybe, or contact Ruth, and she'll help you with some local, because some of her stuff, a lot of your stuff is local, right? It's not really national. If somebody called you from Bangor, Maine, you might not be able to help them there.
Well, we can help them.
Help them. All right, good. Hey, Ruth, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you next time. Ruth King, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. We're going to be right back. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.